Hello and welcome to Fight Picks with the Pros. My name is Chris Holdsworth, and today we're going to review three fights from the upcoming UFC Fight Night card. Korean Zombie versus Dan 50K Inge in the main event. And we have a few early predictions for some exciting upcoming fights. Today I'm joined by UFC Bantamweight Cody No Love. Let's go.
Introducing Fight Picks with the Pros. Brought to you by FanDuel.
First fight we're talking about is Matt the Immortal Brown coming out the plus 188 underdog versus Diego Lima coming out the favorite minus 230. So this is a welterweight bout. A little overview. We got the 40-year-old Brown versus Diego Lima. And isn't Diego Lima from Bellator?
His brother.
Oh, it's his brother.
Douglas.
Yeah. Oh, man, I got that confused.
He's a killer.
Now, are they twins?
No, I think Diego is younger.
Yeah.
Diego's on the Ultimate Fighter win.
Yeah, that totally threw me off. I was like, what happened to Bellator? Mm-hmm. But we got Matt the Immortal Brown, who's been around forever. This guy is just
Ohio
like...
boy.
Yeah. 22-18, 14 TKOs with six subs. You know, he's fought some of the best guys in the division. He's been around for years. He's got 13 finishes in the UFC. So, in my opinion, that's probably why he's like still in the UFC. You know, he finishes fights, he's entertaining. Because most of the time, when you got a record like that, you get cut, after a few losses and whatnot. But he's got a huge fan base, and it's awesome to see him, continuing to put some wins together. But he's fighting one of the Limas. These guys are no joke. 15-8. 4 TKOs, 4 subs, so he's got like a 50-50 finish ratio as far as TKOs and subs, and he's coming off a loss to Bahil Muhammad in February, and then three straight wins beforehand.
Yep.
So this is going to be a good bout. I think, Diego Lima is probably going to try to, take the Immortal down. I feel like that's where the Immortal, slacks the most. Is his ground game. He's known as like a Muay Thai kickboxer, elbows, knees, strikes down the middle. But I know he's working his 10th Planet game. He's been working a lot of that 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu. Give me your take, Cody. What do you think about this fight? What do you think about Immortal Brown, Lima?
I'm going to go with Immortal Brown for numerous amounts of reasons. I think the veteran experience over Diego, he does make, some costly mistakes in a lot of his fights, but again, he is getting a lot better. He's kind of finding his groove. His older brother, Douglas Lima, training with them and their camp. But I'm gonna go with Matt. I think Matt gets it done. This is a big fight for him. I think stylistically, they're both long rangy. They like to mix things up. I think Diego obviously more, and the game plan obviously, like you said, getting to the ground. But I think Immortal Brown gets back on the win column here on the winning track. Excited for that fight. I think it's going to be a great great matchup.
Yeah. What I've noticed with Matt Brown, I watched him out there in Abu Dhabi when I was there earlier this year. So I've seen him fight live twice. To me, I've been a huge fan of him. Of course, he's that legacy guy. He's been around the UFC for so long. And he brings kind of that killer be killed attitude, that Nate Diaz does. Attitude. Yeah. I'm either going to finish you and get that TKO or sub, or you're going to cut me up and end up finishing me. And what I noticed with his style too, a lot of fighters kind of bring this, he starts flowing when he's throwing a left, a straight, and he has these wild almost over the top elbows that he throws that are nasty, especially when he has a guy against the fence. But he needs to flow into his strikes when he's throwing like three or four at a time. And if not, if he's just jabbing and circling, that's when he can get picked apart and starts getting hit. So that's my opinion, what I see. Chris, what are you seeing out of Matt? How is he going to win this fight if you're picking him too?
Yeah, now that I think about it, I'm pulling for Matt Brown as well. I think he's fought the better guys. He's got the more experience. Even though he's got a lot of losses, like you said, he's one of those guys that, it's either die, it's kill or be killed, right? He's leaving on his shield. He's putting everything, he's giving everything, and that's why he's so entertaining, and, the UFC and fans love him. So I say Matt Brown is going to get a TKO finish in the third round.
Ooh. Right.
Call it. What do you think? Decision? Method of victory?
I think he'll get a finish. I think, like I said, Diego's game plan is going to be to try to smother him against the cage, and that's when, the elbows come in to play the Muay Thai clinch.
Yeah. That's where I think he's going.
I think he can, and he's really good at getting those elbows. It takes a little bit of separation and space to land a nice one. I think that he'll get it done. Or, you know, Diego being tired, getting in the takedowns, not being able to get him down in a lengthy, you know, Matt Brown. Matt Brown, I know, trains with Lance. He's always down in the Ohio State wrestling room. Well, you know, Mark Coleman, all those guys. So he has the wrestling availability to train. So I probably, you know, that's what he's been working on. But also those down elbows when there's in the, you know, trying to get taken down, I think that will be a TKO win for Matt Brown as well.
I like that pick. I'm also going to say, a decision for Matt Brown. I think maybe he'll piece them up a bit on the feet and get that majority win. So I'll go Matt Brown by decision.
Nice. All right, next fight we're going to talk about, a fight that flew under the radar for me, but now I'm super excited, is the Marlon Chito Vera coming in at the minus 275 favorite versus Davey Dangerous Grant coming up at the plus 220 underdog. Man, this is a bantamweight fight. And it's Marlon Vera, who's, you know, fought some of the best guys in the division. Or has he? Jose Aldo.
Well, he's fought Jose Aldo.
He's fought, you know, he's fought some good guys, put some good string of wins together. But he's fighting Davey Grant. And Davey Grant is the guy I fought in the Ultimate Fighter finale. Yeah. So it's cool to see him fighting guys like Chito Vera now. Awesome. Seeing him put together a string of wins and just seeing him still in the UFC being successful is awesome for me. This is going to be a good matchup. I think Chito is going to probably try to play his leg kick game a little bit, try to play from the outside, you know, use some of his calf kicks. And, you know, Davey's more of a power puncher. He tries to get in and throw some kind of, you know, hard hooks. And he's got some good kickboxing, you know, to mix in there. But this is an interesting matchup for me. I don't think either one of them is going to try to take somebody to the ground, per se. Like, they both have good grappling skills. I think Marlon has more of the aggressive grappling. Like, he'll look for the takedowns and get takedowns and try to, you know, go for that. But this is an interesting matchup for me. Let's hear your guys' take on it.
I think prior to, you know, this is a rematch with Davey Grant winning the first battle.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. In 2016.
Yep. Oh, wow.
But when, if you look at what Davey was able to do, I think Chito was more active in the last 5 years than Davey was. Yep. And he's fought higher caliber fighters. Obviously, Jose Aldo is there, his biggest fight that he fought, and obviously he lost that fight, but I think he's fought tougher, stiffer competition. He fought Yudong Song, you know, we know how tough you know Song is, and in that fight, that was a very close fight. So he's been there, he's been in some higher prolific fights with Jose Aldo, like, you know, stating. But then again, Davey Grant is on, you know, he's 3 straight wins. You know, so he's come off 3 straight wins. He's got the momentum going. You know, he's finishing the guys. He has, 3 straight wins with 2 KOs. So, like, that momentum is nice. You know, Chito's coming off a loss, you know, to Jose Aldo. And the thing is that he wants to get this, you know, redemption back. But I think that if you look at it, Chito has much more evolved than Davey Grant, looking at his last opponents compared to Davey Grant. So I think Davey Grant has gotten better since the first time I saw him when Chris choked him up. But, you know, he hasn't fought the stiffer competition. So I think Chito will get this redemption win. You know, I think that'll be a grinding fight. Could be a decision, or I could see, you know, a late submission by Chito, you know, the grappling.
Oh, yeah, I like that too. I like this fight. This is I see two sides of it. I see Vera, who's been in the spotlight more after beating Sean O'Malley, getting a big shot at Jose Aldo to really climb the ranks. And he's got all this spotlight, all the social media spotlight, all this press picked up. And he's kind of he's handling the pressure more of jumping up, being on this main card, even though it's a smaller fight night event. So maybe that'll put a little pressure on Davey Grant. But I like Jonathan Martinez, and he got the KO win over him. He's on 3 straight after he wasn't doing too well in the UFC, probably on the edge of being cut if he would have lost another fight. And then he comes back, wins 3 straight, he's getting KOs, and he's fighting a guy who we already beat. So even though it was 5-6 years ago, there's something, some mentality in the head saying, hey, you know, I beat you before. So it's going to be an interesting one. I'm still going to go with Marlon Chito Vera. I think he's going to find a way to get the TKO win. The last 6 wins have been by finishes, so I'm going to ride on that and say Marlon Vera gets the win by TKO. Chris, what do you got?
Yeah, I think both guys have gotten a lot better since they last fought. You know, Marlon's fought the better guys, you know, as of, you know, since they fought. You know, Jose Aldo, Song, you know, he fought Sean.
You can't put Sean in there. Lamborghini in top 15.
But, like, I'm just saying, like, the names compared to, like, you know, the Davy Grant
fight. Right, exactly, the prolific fights. The
high, yeah, yeah, he fought more high-level yeah. high level
fights. But Davy, man, he's been on the Ultimate Fighter, made it to the finals. You know, that's a huge thing. That's
that's a gut check, you know. I'm definitely pulling for Davy Grant.
For sure.
I want Davy to pull this one out.
I do too. I like Dave. I think he always came over. Yeah, but
it would be super cool to see him get the finish, but I think he's going to win a decision.
Nice. Okay. All right. So you're going with Davey?
Yeah, I'm going with Davey. Right. Dangerous Grant. All right. All
right. Davey, so you Davey. Switch it up? You keep it?
The homie.
I'm keeping it. You know what? I think this, that, the Cheeto just, you know, competition is competition, you know, and, you know, you look at that. I think that you fight. You rise a level of intensity inside the octagon, and you're tested in there a lot. So I'm not saying that Davey isn't or hasn't gotten better since that fight, but yeah, I'm going to keep it with Cheeto.
I like you guys going against each other. Now we'll see
Let's go.
Who made the better picks. I'll put together a little goodie basket for you guys. Goodie basket for the winner.
Blue juice.
All right, so let's talk about some early predictions. And, of course, we got to talk about Dustin the Diamond Poirier coming at the -105 favorite versus Conor the Notorious McGregor coming at the -114 favorite.
Yeah, so he's really the favorite slightly, but so it's really dead money line. It's really okay. Like even money right
gotcha.
Now.
Gotcha.
Love it.
So as we both all know, this is the third fight of theirs. They're both 1-1. The last fight was crazy. You know, Conor almost had Dustin finished, and then he came back, you know, the leg kicks, the calf kicks, and then finish Conor, you know, nasty, you know, against the cage. It was a great comeback and just a great fight in general. You know, I feel like Conor's definitely going to be looking for those leg kicks now. You know, he spoke about it in the media. He's, you know, in his Instagram or whatever, you know, he said how he didn't respect the kicks and he didn't change up his game plan soon enough. But, you know, that's always, like, after the fact. You could have, like, I could have done this, I could have done that. But really, like, why didn't you do it inside the fight? But I'm interested to see if he's going to be able to stop those leg kicks, because I think Dustin's definitely going to go back and try to go for those. I don't think he's going to throw them right off the bat. He's probably going to wait a little bit longer this time and maybe just, you know, slip them in there. Or he might just come out and just start firing them and just, like, all right, you remember these. Yeah. He might just, like, come out and start firing them. So I'm a huge Dustin Poirier fan. I'm pulling for Dustin on this one. I feel like, you know, he's just I've been following him since, you know, he did that MTV reality thing.
Me too.
Fightsville or whatever.
Yeah, Fightville.
Yeah, Fightville. So I've been a fan of him since back then. You know, he's paid in full. He's fought in the best guys in the division, just like Conor has. And I'm a fan of Conor as well. But I like Dustin's personality and outside the cage, and just like I feel like he's more of the you know, he's just not
personable.
He's just the more real kind of and Conor is the entertainer, and that's totally fine. You know, it's cool to be the entertainer of how Conor is, but like I like Dustin Poirier's personality. I like his fighting style, and I want to see him win this third fight.
Bro, he has 25 fights in the UFC. He's 20-5 in the UFC.
Yeah,
like that needs to be highlighted. That is, you have 25 fights. You have 25 fights in the UFC, but you have 20 wins.
Yeah,
one of those most stacked divisions. You know, lightweight.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, featherweight, lightweight. Yeah.
Best guys too. You know, Habib. You know, Kareem Zombie, Holloway. Yeah. Like he's fought in the best guys. So.
Yeah. So this was a big decision for Dustin Poirier. You know, he got the option to either fight for the title, or you can rematch Conor, and of course the rematch with Conor is going to pay double the money.
That's a no-brainer.
So of course he's going after the money, and guess what? He's going to get rewarded if he gets the win again. That title is just going to be sitting there for him. But if he loses, he's going to let Conor get that chance by beating the number one contender Dustin Poirier. He's going to let Conor slip in there and get the title shot, which a lot of people will be hating on. But that's the decision Dustin decided to do. Surprising to me, he's +550 to win by decision, +900 to win by sub. I think Dustin can hurt Conor again and kind of get him down the ground and finish him with a sub, kind of like Nate Diaz did to him when he hurt him.
Yeah, Dustin has very, very good grappling skills. I mean, you know, he's done a lot of submissions in the OCWC as well. This fight's, you know, is a great fight. They're both 1-1 with both knocking each other out in the previous bouts. You know, Dustin to turn down a title shot against Conor McGregor. I mean, that's a no-brainer. You know, that's a money fight. And this is what we're in, was a risk versus reward. You know, what's the risk and what's the reward? Okay, say worst comes to worst, McGregor beats him. Okay, and McGregor goes to the title. Conor still, you know, Dustin's still right there. He's still at the top. Yeah. You know, he gets paid a nice little chunk change to fight McGregor. And then he beats McGregor. He beats him again. Ends the trilogy fight. And then he goes on to fight for the title. I mean, perfect strategy on Dustin Poirier, where he's at mentally, emotionally, you know, physically. He always shows up to the fight. But I like Dustin in this fight again. You know, when you knock someone out that quick, you know, it takes a little longer time to kind of readjust, you know, change your focus, what you need to be doing differently. And I think Conor, you know, definitely would need to be working on a lot of things that just doesn't happen. And when's the last time they fought was what?
In January this year. So.
Exactly, what, 8 months ago?
So let's think about this. So it looks like we're all pulling for Dustin possibly in one way, and we'll give our predictions here soon. Let's pretend you're in Conor's camp and you're in his corner and you're thinking, okay, he's going to come with those low calf kicks. He's going to faint and fake those takedowns again. Like, they're going to be ready for this stuff now. So let's say you're in Conor's camp and you guys got to come out with your own strategy to beat Dustin. How are you going to shake it up now this time coming out?
What Conor does the best. He's a counter striker. He's precise on them. Let him do all that faint movement. Let Poirier come to him. And fight back. Like, you know, Conor's always, you know, wide stance, you know, Check the kicks, maybe switch it up a little bit, maybe ortho southpaw, where Dustin can't get his range on his kicks and, you know, keep things to come up the middle, some cheap kicks where he's coming, you know, he brings a lot of pressure, but let him come to you, you know, throw that, you know, straight left, or yeah, I would even go ortho and, you know, throw the straight right, just a straight rights on him, straight lefts when he's coming in, and let him pressure you. And Conor, you see that Conor is precision and timing, you know, that's, he's really good at, you know, placing those punches, and he's strong, he hits hard, and we saw that in the fight, you know, both fights, he obviously knocked Dustin out the first time, the second one, he caught him, had him hurt, and I think that's what will need to be done this fight, is letting Poirier more press with the feints and that, you know, keep the, you know the punches and the strikes and the kicks, you know at bay, but make him miss and make him pay. You know, I think that is what Conor has done so well in his career, has been very elusive, you know, hard to hit, rangy, you know, mixes it up with spin kicks and, you know, works off his jab and his movement, bouncing back, like just a range, being a range fighter, very rangy fighter, especially when it's southpaw versus southpaw. That's my take on it. I would let Poirier kind of come forward a little bit more and kind of counter strike him a little bit. Switch stances, teep kicks up the front. You saw that with Dan Hooker. He had a lot of success, you know, being long and throwing teeps and, you know, the kicks at the knee. So, you know, they don't come in much on, you know, when you have a volume fighter and Dustin.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, Chris, now for you, represent on Conor's side. Was it stay light on that front foot to avoid those low calf kick? Keep switching stances, like Cody said, to avoid it?
I think that last fight, he was a little too planted. He was too boxy, maybe, you know? And I think he's going to make the adjustment and get back into the popping in and out kind of style that he did in the beginning of his career, being light on his feet, being weary of those calf kicks, being weary of those takedowns, because if you're planted like he was, boom, he got taken down right away. He got hit with those hard leg kicks right away. And I think he was waiting, trying to get a hard counter as Dustin came in. But I think now he needs to play that Stephen Wonderboy Thompson in and out kind of game, looking for that straight left down the middle, maybe that check right hook that he hit Jose with.
Yeah.
And then also that in and out, it's going to be harder to time those leg kicks as well. So I think he needs to get back to that kind of style. And, you know, mix some things up.
Get flowy with it.
Yeah.
Just get flowy.
Okay. I like it. So let's jump into official fight picks. So for your official prediction, Cody, let's start with you. Who you got?
Ooh.
The winner and method of victory.
It's a tough one. This is a tough one. I might have to skip this one. I have to skip it.
OK, Can't no pick. All right,
it's no pick. I want to just enjoy the fight.
I'm gonna go with Dustin Poirier. I think it's gonna be a third round TKO finish.
Third?
Was it the second round of this last fight?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think Conor will last one more round, and I think Conor's gonna have some good moments in that first and second round. I think he's gonna wobble Dustin again.
Nah.
But being the true, you know, the tough, you know, vet Poirier is, he's gonna weather the storm, and then he's gonna start figuring out Conor. And then he's going to start connecting.
Start opening up.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of how it played out last time. I'm going to go Dustin, too. I'm a huge Conor McGregor fan. I like the antics. I like the promotion. I liked him more earlier in his career, but still respect him, of course.
It's because you have the orange beard you put on.
I think it's the orange beard. It's part of the Irish in me. The Irish blood.
That makes sense.
I like whiskey. Right. But, you know, I got to talk to Dustin out on Fight Island, and I've worked with Dustin in the past a couple different times, and he's just so humble every time.
Yeah,
and I've seen him from when I was worked with him when he was, you know, 70,000 followers on Instagram on his way up, and now he's like this world known superstar in MMA, and he really hasn't changed at all. So how can you not respect the guy? He's a loyal guy. He's in there to fight. He loves to mix it up. He loves to get in a brawl, and I think it's going to happen again. But I could see this going to decision. I could see them kind of playing more of the feint game and respecting each other a little bit more this fight, both been knocked out by each other. So I'm going to go Dustin Poirier by decision. He's going to be my official fight pick.
Good call.
Cody, you want to throw one in there? Okay. He's holding
back.
All right. And one more early prediction before we get in the main event.
Yeah. Next early prediction. Let's talk about Yair Rodriguez coming in at the +310 underdog versus Max the Bless Holloway coming at the -400 favorite. So we got a featherweight fight happening July 17th.
Nice.
And Yair, like, where's Yair been? You know, I haven't seen him fight in a while. I think, he was suspended for 6 months, failing to notify USADA of his whereabouts, and became eligible in March. So it's cool to see him back. I'm a fan of Yair's style. I really like his, his kind of flashy and technical, precise kickboxing. Yeah. And then he's actually got an underrated ground game. I rolled with him when he came here, and I was surprised by his ground game. I was like, oh, you got some skills. So 14-3, 4 TKOs, 3 subs. You know, he's beat Jeremy Stevens, the Korean Zombie, but he hasn't fought since October 2019.
Yeah,
it's almost
inactivity.
It's almost 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, the inact. You know,
versus a guy who
stays active.
Yeah,
yeah, it stays active. That's tough, you know. And he's staying active against the best guys in the world, and what he's able to do, and his punch output. He's doing 5-round fights. This is another 5-round fight for Yair. You know, this is where Holloway, you know, thrives. And survives in these, you know, 5-round fights because his punch output and his, you know, conditioning is so immense. I don't know. Like I said, I think the layoff, you know, the suspension, the layoff, the inactivity, and Yair is really his downfall in this fight, facing at Max Holloway. You know, I think if he was, you know, stayed more active and fought Max, it would be a better fight. You see, Max doesn't, you know, when with the kicks, you know, when he fought Volkanovski the first time, he didn't mix it up. He just stayed boxing oriented. And you see the next fight where I thought he beat Volkanovski. He started mixing it up. The kicks, he looked great. And then he's coming off the freaking blistering pounding of Calvin Kattar. I mean, Calvin is tough as they come. And, you know, just laid it on him. I mean, laid it on him. I mean, you were able to do that over a 5-round fight against a, you know, very tough, skilled striker in Calvin Kattar. I just think that it's going to be a tough night for Yair. I do believe that he's very skillful. He's fun to watch. He's got some crazy kicks and, like I said, skilled all areas, but the inactivity and the output that Max puts on is just going to be too much for him. So my prediction is that Holloway gets him out in the second or third round by a TKO.
Yeah, I'm liking that prediction too. I think the experience and, you know, Max Holloway just fighting the best guys in the world, you know, and hasn't taken any time off. Just came off that huge win against Calvin Kattar that we just talked about. A +312 strike different. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And the guy doesn't even spar anymore getting ready for fights. that's just crazy that, you know, to see somebody like that who's been at the highest level for that long and fighting all the best guys and then still continuing to evolve as a fighter and get better every fight and, you know, do something different, showcase something new. You know, I'm a huge fan of Max Holloway. Same. I think he's going to finish Yair as well, probably in the second or third round. Yair does good against people who are not as technical strikers, you know, like, he sets them up real well with the kicks, you know, but I think, you know, guys like Max that are really technical with the hands, really technical with just MMA striking in general, he's going to give Yair problems.
Yeah, I can't think of a harder guy to come back to after a two-year layoff than a Max Holloway.
Dude, the UFC must be mad at him. Huh?
Yeah, maybe Dana's like, yeah, you want to wait out and hide from USADA?
Well, he was supposed to fight a couple times. He was supposed to fight, you know, Zabit. That fight fell through. Yeah, that was, right. You know, signed, sealed, and dated. That was a fight that I was looking forward to for quite some time. But, yeah, maybe the UFC's like, all right, you want to do this and, you know, pull out and have some things like, we got this guy for you waiting in the loom. So, but you're in there to fight the best, and not that, you know, Yair's here, you know, doing that. You know, obviously you can say about his past and whatnot with suspension and not fighting, pulling out of fights. You know, it happens. It's only, you know, he knows what happens in there. But, yeah, Max Holloway's a tough outing for him to come back after his long layoff. I mean, geez, but exciting fights though, nonetheless.
I'm going to go get my fight prediction on this one. I like Max Holloway in this one for sure. I think he's going to stack up the strikes. I think there could be some scary moments. Yair has those heavy leg kicks. You know, that back elbow against the Korean Zombie was unlike anything I've ever seen. And he has some power. Half his wins are by finish, by TKO or sub. So he's got some ground game too. But I think Max's output is going to be too much for him. And I think he's going to end up getting a decision win, most likely a majority decision win.
Nice. Good call.
Max, majority decision.
I'm going majority decision. Cody, what's your pick?
I was like second or third round TKO. I just saw what, you know, Frankie was able to do, and Frankie puts out a high punch output, and he got him out. You know, TKO'd him in the second round.
I think that's a good call. I can see that happening. Chris, you said TKO.
Yeah, I got Max second or third round. He's gonna finish him with that output.
We're all pulling for Max.
It's time for the main fight pick of the evening.
And we got Korean Zombie coming out the minus 110 favorite versus Dan 50K Inge coming at minus 110 favorite as well.
Yeah. Even money line here, the odds aren't swaying right now. It's just even.
Okay, cool. Nice. Right, so we got a featherweight bout. Overview. Inge's wife gave birth to her first son in April. Which he says has given him extra motivation to beat the Korean Zombie's ass.
Let's go.
Yes, I like it. And if kids will do that to you, man. Kids will light that fire. You got somebody that's watching you. You got somebody that's gonna, you know, look up to you when they're older. So that's always cool to have that extra motivation. Then we got, you know, Korean Zombie is 16-6. You know, crazy finish ratios, 6 TKOs, 8 submissions. He's a finisher. Lost to Ortega back in October.
Was that a decision, submission, or was that?
No, man. I think Ortega. I think it might have just whooped him in a decision. Honestly.
Yeah, I forget. Did he get the finish?
Can't remember either.
Well, let's pull it up.
Decision.
Yeah, it was a decision.
Yeah, he whooped him in a decision. And then you got Dan Inge, who you know, is 15-3, 4 TKOs, 5 subs. He's fought some, you know, some tough guys in the division. I feel like Dan is super active. Every time I like look over my shoulder, it's like Dan Inge is fighting, and it's cool because like I remember when, you know, he was like Ali's like personal assistant, and he was like driving us around like when you were fighting, like no fights in the UFC, no nothing. And then now he's got like how many, like 70? Now he's got 9 fights in the UFC.
He's
been super active.
Getting performance bonuses, you know?
Yeah, that's 50K, Dan, 50K.
50K, baby.
That's what it's all about, man. You go out there and fight, try to get paid as much as you can.
And he's just evolving, man. Like you see him every outing, he's just, you know, getting better and better, you know, just chiseling his skill, you know, with his team and coaches. He's a hard worker, you know, very, very great guy. I don't think there's many guys like him in the sport in the world, so definitely he pays his dues. But you're fighting, you know, a very, very tough competitor, and you know, the Korean Zombie, who's, you know, been around the sport for quite some time. You know, fought some of the best. He's been in a lot of five round, you know, decisions, losses, wins. I'm excited for Dan. I think this is a great, you know, great opponent for Dan to go out there and put on another showcase performance. He's coming off a huge knockout win over Gavin Tucker. Gavin Tucker had a lot of hype around him. Korean Zombie's coming off a loss to Ortega. Great matchup. I mean, the matchmakers are doing such a great job in this card. And it's a main event. It's a five-round fight. I think that also goes into Dan's favorite. You know, he's one of those grinders that, you know, go out there and push the pace and can hold that for 25 minutes. My fight prediction is going to be Dan Ige and either a knockout or decision win against Korean Zombie.
Yeah, I think Korean Zombie's going to give some trouble to Dan. I think Korean Zombie's a hard puzzle to figure out. Inge is evolving, like Cody talked about. He's getting better every fight. I think his reach is going to give Dan some problems this fight. Like, man, I want to go with my boy Dan, but something's telling me Korean Zombie's going to win this one. But I'm going with my boy Dan. I had to throw that in there just in case he does win. I'm like, told you.
No, Dan's getting this shit.
No, I think Dan's gonna catch him with like a left hook and flatline Korean Zombie.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm a Korean Zombie fan. I can see, you know, the possibility of him getting a decision and hanging in there. It is five rounds, and I was impressed by Dan. That last KO was lights out.
Yeah.
No question about it. That was a vicious KO. Now to see only 4 TKOs on his record here, I expect a little bit more, but maybe that just goes to you guys saying, you know, he's still evolving his game and finding his power and growing. So
yeah.
I'll go with Dan on this one too. I'm going to say by decision. Korean Zombie's a hard guy to put away. He's got a rock solid chin, and we'll see how he comes into it. But I like Dan, a new fan of his. I've seen quite a bit of his fights, and that last one definitely that sparked a bigger interest. So I'll go Dan by decision in this one.
Nice. And Korean Zombie, they have the same amount of fights in the UFC. So yeah. Activity. We go keep going back to inactive fighter. That's how you kill your career. Dan is active. He's always in the gym. He's training. You know, your body is able to put that kind of output in training camps and training. Hats off to him. You know, I wish, you know, I could do that in my earlier on in my career. You know, I fought 4 times in 1 year. It was great, you know, the body held up, but it came at a cost. So if you're able to do that, you have great, you know, physical therapist and, you know, your physical demands on your body, you're able to keep that up, like, hats off to him. I mean, that's where he was, you know, to fight and get paid and keep climbing those ranks. That's what he's doing. So great card from top to bottom, a lot of good matchups that we just went over. Dan Ige is the showcase main event against Korean Zombie, and we're pulling with our boy Dan. So, this is a great card. Excited to watch it.
Thanks for watching Fight Picks with the Pros, brought to you by FanDuel. Please don't forget to like and subscribe to our channel. We'll see you next time.
Hello, everyone. Bruce Buffer here. Thank you for watching the MMA Surge YouTube channel. We hope you enjoyed this video. Don't forget to subscribe and get notified when we upload next.